Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
Today's episode is really interesting. I'm talking to a guy you've probably seen kind of yelling at you to get fit, but we spend most of the episode talking about what really makes him tick and being an entrepreneur and about to be a new dad and just getting behind one of the top guys in the field of exercise and fitness who's literally changed the lives of millions of people. This is fascinating stuff. You will not believe where we're going to go in this episode. So listen to the whole thing. You are going to get a lot of value from this, and it's a lot of fun too. You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey. Today's cool fact of the day is that if you have a fear of spiders and snakes, it's actually deeply embedded in your nervous system. And we've always argued about whether the aversion we have to these things is innate or it's something you learn because your parents or your peers are responding to this because you saw it. But now scientists at the Max Planck Institute for Human Cognitive and Brain Sciences in Leipzig and Uppsala University in Sweden, they've discovered that this is hereditary. In other words, we're born with it because even babies get stressed when they see a spider or a snake. They would show a picture of a snake or a spider to babies instead of a flower or a fish, and they would get significantly bigger pupils, which is kind of cool. That means that fear is evolutionary and it's an inherited reaction that then teaches us to learn that the animals are dangerous. Which, what's cool about this is that if you had, say, your webcam looking at your eyes, looking at where they look, and looking more specifically at what makes them dilate and not dilate, you probably find that whenever you were watching the news, your eyes dilated in fear, which is why you shouldn't watch the news. Okay, maybe not. On that note, before we get into today's show, do you know we have bulletproof coffee pods? If you're traveling a lot like I do, and you go to those hotel rooms that have Keurig machines, our pods are K-Cup compatible, and this is the bulletproof coffee that's lab tested for 27 toxins. So you can actually brew the coffee in your room or in your office and get the good stuff that doesn't give you the jitter and crankiness that you might get from your coffee that's not tested and is completely unregulated in the US, which is a bit of a problem. All right. Today's episode is going to be a ton of fun because today's guest is a really well-known guy. His name is Sean T. He's the force of nature behind the insanely successful Insanity workouts, Hip Hop Abs, Focus T25, Size, and Sean Week workouts. What you might not know is that he's got a BS in sports science and a minor in theater and dance. And he actually got started as a choreographer. And it's just really helped a lot of people get a level of physical, I don't want to call it perfection, but just physical performance and a look that, and a way of moving that's really remarkable. So the idea to be able to motivate and teach millions of people is something that's really interesting to me. And Sean T has really cracked the code on that. He's also about to be a father of twins. So we're launching a new partnership together, and I wanted you guys to get a chance to meet Sean and understand, you know, who he is and what he's all about. Because if all you see is, you know, what he's doing on YouTube or something, you probably don't know what a cool guy he is. So Sean, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for the introduction. Everything you said, I am excited about, and I was excited about, like when I was doing and creating Insanity, as hard as it was. And some people might say, why were you excited about that? Because it's so hard. But I was. I'm excited about becoming a new father. I'm excited about life. And I'm excited about Bulletproof. And I know that might sound really crazy, but it's super exciting for me to be talking to you today because you are the man I've always wanted to connect with when I fell in love with when I first started my butter in the coffee time of my life, which I don't even know if you know, but it started out as a friend basically challenging me to try this butter and coffee because I was like, what are you talking about? This is great. I have so much energy naturally. Why do I need to put butter in my coffee? And it just became this whole thing. And I literally fell in love with it. So I'm really excited to be here today and talk to you and talk to everyone out there.
Awesome. I found that Bulletproof took off even in like the CrossFit community, people doing Ironmans, like people who are pushing themselves either cognitively, like people on TV where it's, you know, 14-hour days under lights where you have to look good and have your brain working, just like people at the very limits of whatever their profession is, that they just naturally tried it, like, oh, yeah, that's it. But if you're running most of your days, maybe without needing to push as hard as you do with your workouts, maybe you don't notice it as much at first. But a lot of people who are like me, where I wasn't pushing hard that way, I was pushing hard in my career and just, you know, a huge amount of career stress and emotional stress and all that. But anytime there's a lot coming in, you got to have a lot more energy. So I could see why it would work, just because, you know, your insanity workouts are insane.
Right? Very insane. But just to kind of piggyback off of what you were saying, now in my career, it's more of being an entrepreneur, I'm speaking a lot, meeting new people. And, you know, you get that. I remember I used to get that afternoon lull is what I would call it. I would wake up, I would get the afternoon lull. And so when I was introduced to Bulletproof, when I started making it the right way, I should say, it really eliminated that. And so my brain function and my brain power increased amazingly. And I think positive. I'm a positive thinker anyway. And even if I'm tired, I still push through. I still move forward in whatever is happening in my day. But it definitely enhanced my ability to function, focus, and refocus when I needed to. So I'm with you.
Well, it makes me feel good when you say that. And we did about 100 million cups of Bulletproof coffee so far. You know, the real stuff with brain octane and the right beans and all. And just launched the new ready-to-drink stuff. And so at a certain point, there's always these science trolls. Like, I find something on PubMed and then they say, you're a bad man, and you know, personal insults paired with some irrelevant research. And like at this point, just the force of like, well, it works because I tried it for 2 days and it worked. But anytime I see someone who's like operating at a top level, because you're pushing yourself entrepreneurially and physically. I mean, like if people are watching on YouTube, you can go to bulletproof.com/YouTube to get a link to the channel for this if you want to watch it. But like you're like in fine shape. I mean, you've got the dancer's body. You know, you practice what you preach, right? And so you've got to be doing a lot of stuff, right? But it also, that's energy intensive. And then to have running a business is not a small thing either.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, listen, there's exercise and then there's, you know, work. And so I always tell people that my biggest obstacle is communication, not me communicating, because I communicate really well. But when you have to deal with a lot of people and a lot of personalities and a lot of that comes into play, you have to be at a level at which you can really focus and not let any outside sources get in your way. And so, you know, I always like to say there's the high level athlete, which, you know, a lot of people who work out heavily or who are an athlete or whatever, there's a high level athlete. And then there's the high level mental athlete, which is people who are listening right now, people like you and me, people. And I'm the kind of person who I don't like to sit at a desk and work. I'm a very, very like internal worker. Like my actual computer is my brain. And so whether I'm on the tennis court playing tennis or if I'm just sitting there, and it may look like I'm meditating, I'm actually planning with the same way someone would actually do at their desk. And so, which is important for people to know that people work in different ways. But the power that I get from obviously just keeping my body healthy on an exercise standpoint, and then what I put in my body, it just, you know, and the power is great when you actually combine the two. And so, you know, I'm about to turn 40, which is a whole another thing that, you know, I never, you know, it's just a number, right? But at the same time, it's a big number. And it's when you combine a number with the level of success and experiences you had, it can weigh heavily on you. And so all of these things that I'm saying, exercise, eating healthy, you know, we're talking about Bulletproof. I mean, it really aids in the success of who you are as a well-rounded human being.
Well, so I'm going to go somewhere. I've got some questions about, you know, T is for transformation and developing superpowers, which is in your book. But what did you see between 30 and 40? And this is something like, we got a lot of people listening to this who haven't quite turned 30. And we got a bunch of people who are like, oh, actually throughout the age range, but there's a lot of people, surprisingly, even at the Bulletproof Conference, who are, you know, 50 plus and like, I got my brain back. I love this. But no one told me when I was 30 what to expect between 30 and 40, just biologically, cognitively. Like, what's your experience the last 10 years been as you come up on your 40th?
Hey, I'll tell you this. The intro to my 30s was bizarre because I had just come off of finishing the Insanity workout and right. filming it. And I was, I mean, when I tell you peak physical condition, and then I went and created something called Asylum, right? Go figure. the Insanity Asylum. And it's a, you know, a high level sports training workout. And I was like in it. But immediately when I finished shooting Asylum, that's when my body started to break down. And I didn't understand. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, why is my knee, I can't sit on an airplane for more than 45 minutes without having to straighten out my knee because I felt right. like the burn. Or, you know, the standing up. I remember living in New York and I had a low platform bed where in my 20s, I could jump out of bed. And now I was like, oh, you know, I was like, I felt like the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz, you know? So then I had to really start making these small, because I believe that you can't change overnight. I had to start making these small changes, yoga and stretching. And while I always knew stretching was important because I was a dancer, a different kind of stretching, a different kind of breathing. And so physically, well, you know, had I not been, you know, aware, I could have gone really downhill in my 30s. But physically, I've just become more smarter. And I'm not just talking about kinetically or, you know, physiologically in the sense of like my VO2 max, because I know how to do that. The science behind it, behind moving and getting healthier and fitter is proven. But no one really tells you how the mental focus and the breathing can actually really help heal your body every single day. And so that was the one thing that I figured I started to see a change in my early 30s. The next thing that was really profound is my ability to become emotionally strong, because, and this might be a little bit deep, but I'm going to go here anyway. In your 20s, you still are somewhat in a playground. You know,
yeah.
you're still in the playground. You can.
I was.
Yeah, I know. Please. I was like living. And so, I mean, I'm living now, but I was living in a different way. And so you're in this playground and you feel like you can make mistakes, and mistakes are fine in your 20s because you're like, I'm only 27 or whatever. But then when 30 something hits and I don't know what it is because I'm not a scientist in this way, but there is something that happens in your brain where you start to think with a little bit more focus in terms of like you're building your wisdom. And I believe that wisdom is fuel. And if you don't actually, you know, attach to, eat it and digest the experiences that you have, that you are having now and that you've had, and go back and look at them, you're really missing out on a great opportunity to find success within yourself. And so what I had to do is literally say, okay, I'm not on the playground anymore. I'm actually in a carnival. And so one of the things that I said, and I don't know if you remember the Fugees, there was Wyclef Jean and Praz and Lauryn Hill, you know, there was a song where they say, when you roll into the carnival, anything can happen. And that's what my 30s was like. It was like, okay, like I was doing hip hop abs and I was doing Insanity and I did Asylum. And so now what's next? You know, because we can create amazing things, but what you start to think about is you start to think about what's next and you start to think about how you can internalize and breathe through what's happening in your life at that moment. And so I just started, and I say all that to say is I had to actually accept where I was and accept that change was happening and literally ride the wave of that. And even in currently, you know, I mentor guys who are between the age of 28 and 32. It is the most amazing and rewarding thing experience yeah. I've had so far in terms of mentoring people, because they're right at that age where there's a fear that they're not going to be successful, but there's this drive and this passion and that energetic young youthness that comes out where they still believe that they can do it. And they still believe that they're either on that soccer field or whatever sport they played or whatever they were, you know, competitive in. And so that was the next thing. It's just like, I had to be willing a willing participant in the carnival that was happening in my life and really connect to all the things that was, you know, keep some of my 20s energy, but really start to refocus and use the wisdom that was actually generating in my body to become more successful.
So what was driving you entrepreneurially back then? I mean, were you like, I've got to hit a financial metric, I've got to prove something, or I don't want to fail? Like, what was your core, what made you wake up every morning just wanting to do this?
Well, in my early 30s, I made a huge mistake. I made a very, very big mistake. And one of the biggest mistakes I made entrepreneurially was saying that I wanted to make $20 million in 5 years. That was my goal. I was like, I want to make $20 million in 5 years. And it was the biggest mistake of my life.
Why?
Because what I know now, and I'll explain, is that you should never chase a number. You should chase a feeling. You should chase a feeling. And so, and when I'm creeping into that, you know, mid-30s, and I'm making really, really good money, I'm really stressed about the fact that I am not close enough to the 20 million, right? And that's, and so what I realized, and it just completely changed the course of my life and my delivery when I'm able to speak to people about this wisdom that I've learned, is that you should never chase a number. You should chase a feeling. And so when I realized that you should chase a feeling and not a number, it was brilliant, because on the other side of this, I want to make $20 million. You know, the foundation of who I was I'm never going to work for money. I'm always going to work for things that I love. But for some reason in that early 30s, it was like, oh, to be successful, to be able to invest this amount of money, I have to make this money and I can live off the interest. And it was just this whole mess is what I call it. But then when I refocused and I came back to, no, you should never chase a number. You should chase a feeling. And I'm able to tell people that when it comes to weight loss as well.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. When I was 16, I got really focused on the number. And I was like, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 23. And it was like all I focused on. I had it written on my mirror and all the Think and Grow Rich stuff. And I didn't hit it. When I was 26, I made $6 million, which is not bad, right? The problem was I literally told a friend, I'm like, you know, I'll be happy when I have 10 million. That'll be enough. So I kept like making bad decisions, and I lost the $6 million by the time I was 28. And I was like, oh, like lessons learned, right? And it comes down to, you got to take care of your bases. But like you're saying, if you're focused on the number isn't going to do anything when you hit it. It's like, you know, I really want to buy a new toy. And as soon as you get the new toy, you're like, that didn't make me happy, because it's that feeling of loving what you do that really matters. And that said, I think you got to put bread on your table. Well, in this case, put some fat on your table, because I don't eat bread. But you got to put something worth eating on your table, put it that way. Because the problem is, you know, if you focus only on a feeling and you actually like can't get there because you don't have transportation and you don't have a cell phone, all right, maybe you're doing that wrong, but like there's got to be a balance in there, right? But you're going after the number and it didn't lead to happiness for you.
Yeah, numbers in terms of money and numbers in terms of weight, it's not tangible. Like yes, you can actually touch a dollar, but it doesn't feel like anything but paper. And so I would tell you to go to your office and grab a piece of paper out of a printer. It's going to feel the same thing. And when it comes to weight loss, at the end of the day, you can't feel it. And it's about, how do you sustain your weight loss? And when it comes to money, is how do you sustain the money? And that's, you sustain money by like continuing to go after the feeling and doing something that is true to who you are, because that's where the passion is going to continue to thrive.
My stress level has gone down just enormously. When I got to the point where I'm like, all right, I think I could take care of my family now. I could do that before I started Bulletproof. You know, I had a successful career in cloud computing and all that stuff in Silicon Valley. But I wasn't, you know, I was comfortable, but not like excessively comfortable, right? But I knew, like, I've got this. Like we're not going to starve. But when I focused on, you know, that feeling of making a difference, that was when like things really, really took off. But more importantly, the amount of like internal struggle, it went almost to zero. That plus I've done all this neurofeedback and stuff too. Like the voice in my head is mostly turned off at this point. But
have you read The Untethered Soul?
No.
Oh,
good book.
It's a good book. It talks about that voice in your head. Well, yours is turned off, so don't read it yet. But if for some reason the volume turns back up, I'll ship it to you. Just let me know.
Oh, you're the man. All right, so I will read it just because it'll be helpful for people who are listening to the show and who listen to other shows. I'm working on like the personal development side of helping people understand the whole stack of biohacking. You get your movement, your exercise, your food. And all that down, like there's still other things going on that get in the way of superpowers. Well, let's talk actually about superpowers, because your new book, Tea is for Transformation, is really about superpowers. And you talk about how there's 7 superpowers you can unleash. Walk me through a couple superpowers. How do you write about that?
So first of all, let me explain what your superpowers are, because some people may say, is this a comic book? No, it's not. But we all have developed superpowers over the course of our lives that we haven't even tapped into. We don't even know they exist, because most of the time what happens is once when we go through a struggle, when we get to the end of the struggle, we feel so relieved that it's like, I want to put that behind me. But we forget the most important thing, which is, what is the takeaway? What did you do that is actually making you gain so much strength? So if something like this happens again, you have a tool you can pull out. And so I have this thing called a secret backpack. I'm wearing it right now. It might sound weird. It might sound crazy. It might sound like I'm the little kid with the imaginary friend. But we all have a secret backpack. And for me, what I used to do when I was a young adult, I would react to things so quickly. I would react, react. And I wouldn't respond to it. Because they're two different things. A reaction is like, if someone goes to punch you, you tighten your core, right? A response is, okay, yeah, I got to tighten my core, but like, what am I going to do to make sure I don't, like, this doesn't happen again? And how am I going to process this in a way that I can not only am I going to come out on top, but how am I going to process that a way so I diffuse the situation, but I can actually gain from the situation? And so, I don't want to get super dark here, but, I was molested as a kid. I moved out of the house when I was 14. I had to come out as gay when I was 21. Like, there are all these things that are happening in my life as I'm moving through my life. And because I get out of that situation, or I've gotten out of that situation, what I would do is say, thank goodness, let me let it go. Okay, now, like, that's great, that's gone. But it wasn't until I actually started to go to therapy that I realized, I'm like, wait a minute. There are horrible things that may have happened to you, or things or struggles that you've had, but there's so many amazing things that have come out of this. And that is fortunately, I was able to learn how to breathe in a different way. I was able to learn how to get to not let a negotiation in business and lawyership bother me. I would be like, I'm like, I've been through worse. Like, this is fine. How can I communicate my way through this? And so if someone's listening out there, no matter what you've been through in your life, if you actually go back, and my book helps you take these things and say, what is it that I actually learned from this situation? And you literally will find that you have so many superpowers that you'll be able to communicate internally your way through so many things and come out on top. But Dave, I'm only going to share one superpower though today. And it's my favorite one. It's superpower, and it might sound crazy. So this superpower always gets a negative connotation. Like, if I called you this, if we got off this talk, and we were both at a bulletproof location, and you were ordering your coffee, right? And I'm standing behind you, and I was like, you know what? That guy Dave is so selfish. You would be like, I can't believe Sean said that about me. I invited him on my show. Like, I think he's great, But the superpower of selfishness is the thing that is the most amazing superpower you'll ever have. And let me tell you why. Because it gets a bad connotation. Because the problem is, we wake up every day, and the first thing we do is we think about, what can we do for everybody else? Yeah, we have a family, we have a job, we have a car, we have friends, and it is like, it's great. Like, I'm so happy we have these things, and I'm so happy they motivate us to move forward so that we can get make them feel good. But the majority of humanity forgets to give themselves time. No one wakes up in the morning and looks in the mirror and says, you know, I look damn good. Or, you know what? Not only did I lose weight, but I actually feel good about myself and look in the mirror and be like, come through, Sean T. Like, yes, you know. Or when someone says, if I say, you know, Dave, like, you're a really handsome guy, most people would say, ah, nah. Me, if someone tells me I look good, I'm like, I know, thanks. And I know it's and you know, you say, no, I'm kidding, but thank you, I really appreciate it. But I try to eliminate the negative self-talk. And so the superpower of finding your moment in the day, I call it positive selfishness, is the most amazing, one of the most amazing things you'll have, because you will find the ability to actually believe in yourself. That's why I have it on my arms, trust and believe. Because if you don't believe you, no one else is going to believe you. And if they do, and you have false, and the belief that you have is false, eventually when the belief becomes deep enough and people start to ask you questions about the belief in yourself, you're going to become stuck because you don't actually believe. And so I want you to wake up every day and believe that you matter. Be selfish in the morning. Have your cup of coffee. Have whatever it, you know. I mean, I didn't say that because I'm talking to you. I mean, I'm serious. Like, check my Instagram story. When I'm drinking my coffee, I have like something I think about every day about me, and I share it with everyone. And you are the nucleus of your existence. You are the sun of your solar system. Imagine you being giving yourself major self doubt every single day. Or if you didn't give your wife attention or your spouse attention, what would happen? They would just, you know, things would start to go awry. And so the same thing happens if you don't give yourself attention. So have that selfish moment every single day. It is a superpower. Believe in positive self-talk. And I promise you, if you start your day like that, even if you have a rough day coming up at the office or whatever it is, like, you will go out there knowing that you can slay the game.
It's so cool that you brought that up. There's a group I'm a member of called the Transformational Leadership Council, and it was started by Jack Canfield, and it's got most of the leaders in personal development in it. And what they do is they get together a couple times a year at a resort, and it's only those people. And the whole point is, we got to take care of ourselves. We got to be a little bit selfish, because people who are working to change lives for hundreds of thousands or millions of people, oftentimes you put everyone else first. And at the end of the day, like, I got nothing left for me. But the way to do it is, you got to put the oxygen mask on first, the way they tell you on the airplane. Because if you don't have that energy, you're not going to be able to bring that energy for the work you do. And I find this over and over in people who aren't working at the level that you are, where they're just never addressing their core, like their core requirements. So they don't take care of themselves, or they don't, you know, they don't have self-love, even though they're teaching others to have it. And so I was really amazed when I was invited to be a member of that group, to sit down with Jack and all these amazing people. And you know, they're all doing this work as well to make sure that they're doing the self-care thing that you just talked about. And so thank you for bringing that up. And for people listening, that is profoundly good advice. Like, whether you want to call it being selfish or something else, but if you don't put self-care first, I don't think you can bring it the way you're capable of. And it's to the point that I want to ask how you do this, but I actually, with my assistant, I work with someone who helps me organize my day, partly because I really don't like calendaring. Like, it just sucks my energy dry. Like, like, I just don't like calling. Are you free? I don't know. Are you free? Like, I don't know. For some reason, that's just kryptonite for me. So I'm like, all right, every day I want X amount of time for me. And I call it my self-upgrade time. And then every day it's like, hey, I want some family time that's blocked out and planned. And then I've got some work time and all that. But the order of priority, and it's like written down, is health and wellness first, family second, and work is close third. And I work with my team on the same way. Because if you're unhappy at home or you're not taking care of yourself, you're not going to be effective at the work you do. How do you prioritize those things, and how are you going to change it now that you're about to be a dad?
Well, I have what's called non-negotiables.
Okay.
So here's what doesn't happen. Here's what won't happen. And one of my superpowers, another superpower I have, is actually being flexible. But
yeah,
in terms of what we're talking about, my workout in the morning, never, ever. This is non-negotiable. Whether it's me out on the tennis court or me doing one of my own workouts, which, yes, I actually do my own workouts, is non-negotiable. So that's, and my husband Scott knows that. Like, there's no, like, you do not schedule anything during my workout. Even if I have a live event where it's an event where I'm actually teaching a large group of people, I work out before I even go on stage. And the reason why is because in order for me to be able to give you everything, my cup needs to be full, because you can't run on empty. And so one of the things I tell group exercise instructors, and I believe that this can work for leaders in business or whatever you do as well, is when I'm teaching, it's not about me. When you're teaching, you have to find a moment that separates you from the people who want to learn from you. And so that's why I start with my workout. It's non-negotiable. And it's actually because I'm actually in the process of developing something, because when our twins get here, I'm thinking that it's going to be a little bit crazy. So I'm trying to develop a workout that I can keep my workout. And then it's obviously, it's the same as you. Second is family. It is. And when I say family, it's my relationship, my interpersonal relationships. It's my immediate family. It's my friends. It's, you know, maybe people that I work with, just showing, because my religion is the golden rule. Do unto others as you have others do unto you. And I talk about in my book, the moment that I realized that the golden rule was, like, I thought it was the most amazing thing, because I used to say, I was 6 years old and I'm sitting in my first grade classroom, and we had the scroll on above the chalkboard, and it said the golden rule. And I was like, wait, you mean for the rest of my life, if I'm nice to people, this is like, I can actually be nice to people. And that's almost like putting money in the bank and investing goodness into people. I thought it was the best thing ever. But anyway, I say all that to say, second is family, friends, interpersonal relationships, because, and you've heard this before, you are the average of the five closest people to you. Like, who is surrounding you, and what kind of relationships do you have with them? And not everything is going to be great all the time, but what if you surround yourself with good interpersonal relationships that communicate well, that if anyone is off balance, you have people to pick you up. And then after that, I can walk out on stage and I can feel really full and really fulfilled. And when I go to work with other people, I can feel full and really fulfilled, so that I'm able to deliver in the best way possible.
Now, I'm going to warn you, as a father of two young kids. Now, there's this thing called sleep deprivation that might go against a hard workout every morning. My first child, I learned this. My second child, I did this, the research for the Bulletproof Diet. I slept 5 hours or less every night. And I ate like a stupid amount of calories to try and show, like, I'm eating enough calories to gain 20 pounds a month by only gaining 2 pounds a month. And it turns out I lost weight even though I was doing this, and not getting enough sleep makes you gain weight. And I did all this, but I timed that to start the day after my second child was born, because I was only going to sleep 5 hours a night anyway, because kids have radar. If you wake up early, they like sense it with their kid radar, and then they'll wake up early because they want to be up when you're up. And so, like, I'll wake up late. And they're like, okay, I'll wake up late too. And it's like they follow you around just to interrupt your workout or your meditation. My whole morning, you know, like with one child, I could do it. With two, it was like the whole morning, anytime you set aside time, they find a way in. So I'm wondering if, you know, 3 years from now, you'd be like, T is for Twins, and that'll be your next book.
Well, I already have Twin Sanity is what we're calling it. Instead of Insanity, we're calling it Twin Sanity. I mean, look, you know, obviously you have to monitor and adjust, right? Because you can say one thing and you just never know. But the goal is to stay on the track, stay on track, and stay on path. But I might just have to call you, and I feel a little crazy. I'll be like, Dave, what do I do in this situation?
No, you actually can call me. I'd be honored to help. I mean, I like to think I'm a good dad, but, you know, I think every dad likes to think that. But if there's hints, I would say talk to people who have who have kids who've been through it, because I've benefited so much from people who like sat me down and like, okay, Dave, here's the crap you don't need to buy. Here's the stuff you need to buy. You know, here's what is going to save you a huge amount of time. You know, here's how to not change a lot of diapers. It turns out there's one hack for that like literally will change your life. Because yeah, we'll talk after the show. But it's like there's a lot of cool stuff. But one thing that I did run into is I ran into this overtraining situation, and you might have hit that with the end of your asylum stuff, because you know you're pushing yourself really hard, but then your recovery goes down because some of the energy that would have gone into recovery is now going into supporting young ones. What do you do with your intense workouts, especially as you're hitting 40? How do you balance recovery with the stress of training? Like what's your strategy for that?
So when I was younger, in my 20s, and I love how we're still kind of in this, like, what happens in your 30s. So when I was younger, in my 20s, it was, I'm going out, I'm buying the dopest outfit, the flyest shoes, I got to look good at the club. And now you want to know what I spend my money on? Recovery therapy, whether it's massage, you know, getting a one-on-one yoga session, ice compression therapy. I mean, for me, your workout generally for the average person is 30 minutes to an hour. And for me, I spend about 2.5 hours times that recovering my body. And it's not always like I just go somewhere, but if I'm sitting at night and I'm watching TV, I'm icing. If I'm, when I'm not doing something else, I'm saying, okay, this is my time to get a massage. I literally have a massage room in my house so that when the therapist comes here, it flows into the day.
I almost want to turn my camera because right over there is my massage table that's set up. So I'm with you, man.
But it's these non-negotiable things. Look, I know not everybody has the means to get a massage often, right? But you do have ice. You do watch TV if you do. You do know how to stretch. You do have YouTube. So when you're scrolling, stop. There are plenty of 5-minute yoga stretches on YouTube that you can do while you watch TV or something like that to really get the flow and counteract what you do in your intense workouts.
I was watching a show last night, and I had red and infrared light therapy on me the whole time, and I'm breathing hydrogen gas. And it's like, hey, I was going to watch the show anyway. I just got an upgrade during the time. Do you think people under 30 maybe could recover faster if they were to adopt some of these things as well? Or is this something that you just sort of naturally do as your body starts to hurt? Or would your body not start to hurt if you did this earlier?
So I believe that you can't start too early. So every day when I'm here, I wake up and I'm a part of a tennis club, tennis camp, kind of, I would call it it's like a high level young kids tennis community. And these kids are amazing. And I love hitting with them because they're youthful and they run and everything. But when I ask them to do stretch, when I ask them to stretch, or when I ask them to, and I'm not their coach, I'm there hitting with them, or if I ask them to do a push-up or hold a plank, they can't hold a plank for more than 13 seconds without shaking. They can't touch their toes. And so the answer to that is, I believe that we should start from a young age teaching just recovery therapy, and it doesn't have to be extensive. It just has to be getting their mind ready and able to move. And one of the other things that I really love is a lot of my fans post video of their kids working out with them to the point where I'm at my events and I pull kids on stage with me and I'm like, this is incredible, you know? So I say that to say, I really believe we should start young, but once you hit your 20s, man, I have a bachelor's in science in health and exercise science. And the most amazing things that I did was become a group exercise instructor, because through a lot of the training, you have to know when to stretch, you know, before, after the workout, how to stretch and the recovery. But you don't see people doing that in the weight room or up in the gym. It's they work out, they lift, they go do abs, they leave, you know, and they're missing out on a very important, extremely important, you know, process, which is the stretch and the recovery. And I want to say, again, what you touched on it earlier, which is you do not understand. I know you do, Dave, but I'm saying to people if they don't know this, you do not understand how much sleep is important in the aid in weight loss and health. Sleep is the most important thing you can do. Rest is just tremendously important.
Now,
if you've only slept three hours and you cross four time zones and all that,
do you still wake up and kick your ass with the workout?
Yeah, so I actually just flew to London.
Okay.
And so I flew to London, and because of the time that we land, usually when I land on a long haul flight, I get out and I work out right away. I don't even care. Like, I stretch, I drink tons of water, work out. But because I had like some stomach issue when I went, I waited a day. But yes, I woke up, and when I tell you, I killed the insanity, one of my workouts. And it was the most amazing thing. But here's the thing. It was because I was able to sleep, I think, longer than I wanted to, or longer than I wanted to, longer than I normally would. But even if there was a time when I had a really crazy schedule, and I would still work out, because I was like, if I have to get up at 4 a.m. to get on a flight, to sit on a flight for another, you know, it could be 6, sometimes 9 hours, the best thing I could do is work out beforehand. And I felt so much better even on the plane. It was crazy.
Because you got the blood flow. I used to sort of practice, I'd fly to London from the West Coast in you know, California. And I did it every month for 18 months. So like 1 week a month. Super disruptive, but I got to like test because I had this standard thing. And yeah, if you work out in the morning of the time when you land, it raises your body temperature and raises your cortisol, and it can totally make a difference. But I also found that if I was really sleep deprived, that for me, stretching might be a good move, and going for a walk in the park barefoot and, you know, getting some light in my eyes, but not pushing myself really hard, because I would tend to get sick if I did a heavy workout after a lack of sleep and a hard flight. So I know that you've got your workouts dialed in to just really push you all the way. And I'm wondering how you balance it. And it's just like, occasionally you might, if you're super tired or something's not right, you'll skip a night and then you'll go back to it. But generally you're going to do it no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that for me, like, some people are like, oh, is this a rest day, or what are your rest days? And I say, my body tells me my rest day.
But you allow yourself to take it.
I allow myself to take it. Like
there you go.
When I was, because I had a stomach thing, normally I would get off the plane and work out. But this time I said, I definitely need to take it easy. My body's telling me to shut it down, bring it down, get some rest. And I just really listen to my body. And if it tells me, it's my boss, really. If it tells me to do something, I do it. And you know, and here's one of the biggest things that frustrate me a little bit when I talk to people, especially fitness professionals or people who are so focused on losing a certain amount of pounds. They're like, no, I'm working out. I'm doing something every single day. And that is the, you know, I like to explain it to people who might not have a high level of health and exercise education. I'm not saying that people don't know, but because you can Google anything. Right, but your muscles and your body is like a scar, like that you would cut yourself or something. And so, you know, when you were younger and your mom would say, don't pick at your scab or leave the Band-Aid on, it's because why? That scab, the only way for it to heal and not leave a mark is if you actually leave it alone and give that part of your body rest. And the same thing happens to your muscles. So people who want to lift biceps, you know, two days in a row, or it's like, no, like, give it time. They will, the more rest you give them after you beef them up, if you will, the better the result. And that's something that I can promise people.
And I love it. You just nailed the self-care thing we talked about earlier. And that was something I did wrong in my 20s. I'd had a couple knee surgeries. I weighed 300 pounds. And I'm like, all right, this is unacceptable. Like, I'm going to get strong. I'm going to lose this weight if it kills me. Like, it's the most important thing. So I made a commitment. I'm going to work out every day except Sunday. Just I figured I'll pick one day to not work out, and it's non-negotiable. And the problem was, I'd be like, okay, I have like a horrible sinus infection. I can barely walk. And I'm wheezing. I'm going to go to the gym, damn it. And I did. And I do an hour and a half each time, like 45 minutes of weights, 45 minutes of cardio, incline treadmill, you know, backpack. And at the end of this, I could max almost every machine at the gym. And I was still 300 pounds. And I was still fat. And I still had, you know, size 46 waist. And I was a double XL shirt. And I was like, I was so discouraged. And when I look back at that, if someone had just told me, dude, resting when you need to rest makes you lose weight and makes you recover from exercise. I just didn't know it, right? And I wish I would have. And it's one of the things that motivates me when I write the stuff on Bulletproof. It's like, there's all this stuff that wasn't in the manual. We're not born with the manual. Some that I didn't know coming at this from really back then as an uneducated person, just saying, well, I heard I should work out. So, all right, I'm gonna go all in. And I was eating the wrong stuff, even though I thought I was eating the right stuff. And given that, you know, you push people really hard with your workouts, I think it's awesome that you're talking about, all right, if your body tells you to skip a day, it's okay to skip a day, right? Especially if it's, you know, because you're like, I just don't have it today. Like, so I'm impressed.
Yeah. One of the things that I think ruined the rest, like for people to grasp the fact that rest actually works, is the whole calories in, calories out. You know, when people start working out and they tell me it's like calories in, calories out, but you're forgetting one very important thing, which is the rest. And just because you work out really hard on a treadmill or an elliptical machine or take a class, that's not making you lose the weight. Obviously, you know, there's a nutrition thing. But I remember a couple of years ago, I shot a TV show called My Diet is Better Than Yours. And the hardest thing for me was to just be the host of the show and not one of the trainers, because I'm sitting there. No, the trainers were great. But there were some people, you know, in the way they were losing weight, and I couldn't give my feedback to, like, you know, because I couldn't be biased to one trainer or another. But I wanted to say, sleep, people. I want everyone to sleep today. Instead of showing up on set, how about you all sleep? You're going to wake up. I remember it's so crazy. I'm like, just tell them to sleep. Don't worry about it. But, you know, that's not what some of the shows are about.
I remember there was another one of the Biggest Loser. And you see these, you know, really heavy people like I used to be, you know, chasing potato chips on a string or whatever. And it's like, you can just see it. You're like, you know, don't do that. You're not going to like how you feel at the end of this.
Yeah, I can't even.
So it's cool that you just shared that with people. And yeah, rest and recovery is the other side of the coin. If you only get one side of the coin by over-exercising or under-recovering or over-recovering and under-exercising, you're going to get poor results either way, right? That's cool. All right. Let me ask you about obstacles, because in T is for Transformation, you talk about these superpowers, but you also talk about obstacles. And what do you think the biggest obstacle, like people listening, like the number one obstacle they have to just being as good as they could be? What do you think it is?
The one thing that gets in your way?
Yeah, the most.
Yourself.
Nice. And unpack that for me.
Yeah, I am. The reason why I say that is the only reason why, here, I'm going to paint a picture, because I love painting pictures, not literally, figuratively, of course. We have, you know, in my relationship, and I brought this in my other relationships, we have what I call magic wand situations. So I'm going to start by asking the people who are listening, if you had a magic wand, write down what your day would actually look like. And so a magic wand, it's like a fairy tale situation. It's like, I would wake up, I would play tennis. I would wake up, I would have my coffee, I would play tennis. I would, you know, either answer some emails or have the meetings that I needed. I would, you know, maybe have a date night with my spouse. And so your magic wand situation is full of things that you love, full of things that you want, full of things that have no barriers in a way. Your magic wand situation didn't include you know, having to go to the emergency room for something. Your magic wand situation didn't include your boss or, you know, a coworker saying, I need your help in, you know, finishing a project and you can't go out to your date night, right? Like your, these things didn't happen in your magic wand situation. And so the reason why I say you are your biggest barrier is because you don't create your magic wand situation and you don't find a way to be able to make that flexible. And what happens is you start to get in your own way. And the reason why, you know, I went through the magic wand situation and I led right into getting your own way is because the reason why we don't have magic wand situations is because we don't allow ourselves to, you know, we don't allow ourselves to have that moment. We don't allow ourselves to have the recovery and rest that we talked about a little bit ago. We are in control of everything we want to do. If someone had a magic wand situation every single day, they would wake up, they probably would work out. They probably would lose that quote unquote 20, 30 pounds. They would do it. But the only reason why they're not doing it is because they're letting everyone else lead the charge. And when you start to let everyone else lead the charge, then you start getting in your own way because you don't learn how to take up for yourself. And so you have to take up for yourself. You have to be your own, your biggest cheerleader, and you have to do what you want to get what you want, because no one's going to lose the weight for you. No one's going to work out for you. No one can hit that tennis ball for you. You have to do it yourself. And so sometimes we fill our lives up with a ton of barriers that we created for ourselves. And the barrier is not allowing ourselves to have that time, not allowing ourselves to have that space, not allowing ourselves to be able to breathe in whatever moments we want to breathe in. And so I just believe that, and I'm guilty of it. I should have said that at the beginning. There are points, and I'm not saying I'm even perfect at it now. I'm sure we all have it. There are points where I'm my own barrier. Sometimes, like, one of my biggest flaws is, you know, I have it on my arm, conquer your mind, transform your life. And the reason why I have these things on my body is because they're some of my biggest struggles. Because, you know, as a person that likes to help people, some of the reasons why I'm able to speak and give you the tools is because these are the tools I use every single day. And so you have to, your mind is in control of a lot of these things that happen. Sometimes because I have a lot going on, I get like major anxiety because, oh my gosh, is it going to feel good? Is it going to be right? And then I hold it inside and don't release it. And then it's me, because sometimes it's fear, false evidence appearing real, things that didn't even happen yet. Why are you fearful of them? Because they didn't happen yet, you know? And yeah, so yeah. I like to tell people, like, clear your mind, free your mind, and the rest will follow. I forget what song that's from, but, you know.
You remind me, I work with people who run, I have a few portfolio companies, people who are working to change the world where I've invested or helped them get started. And I use a technique that Joe Polish and Dan Sullivan taught me. Dan runs Strategic Coach and Joe runs the Genius Network. And there's like high level executive networking and training things. And Dan taught me, he's like, look, there's three buckets. One of them is stuff you do every day that you hate. One of them is stuff you do every day that you don't really like, but you can manage it. And then the other one is stuff that gives you a lot of energy. And he's militant about this. He's like, well, you know, right now, most people are like 80% of the time I'm doing stuff that just sucks my energy. I don't like it. And he's like, well, what do you want it to be 3 months from now? And the answer is, I want to be spending 90% of the stuff I love and 10% of the stuff I can stand and none of this on the stuff I don't like. But getting that built in, like the reason you're not doing that is because you didn't prioritize yourself first, just like you're saying, right? And for me, that's been really helpful because it allows me to put more time in Bulletproof Radio, more time in writing, and still be a successful CEO, because I'm like, wait, can someone else who gets more energy out of that than me help me with that? And that's been one of the major growth factors for me. And again, it's getting out of your own way, because I thought I had to do the stuff that I really didn't like, but that was bad programming.
Yeah, I mean, I love that, get out of your own way. I heard that years and years ago, especially when I was struggling with something, and I was like, move, Sean, get out the way, you know, just right, right. Talking to myself. I'm telling you, mirror moments are amazing for people. I talk about this in a book, but
yeah, you have to have a mirror moment.
A mirror moment is, all right, so I have like some different ones, but I'll tell you. So I'm a realist. I am extremely I'll tell you exactly what it is. I'm very transparent, which if you read my book, you'll see, which you know. But so a mirror moment is if I don't feel like working out that day, and it's not my body telling me, it's just me being unmotivated, I walk myself right over to the mirror and we have a conversation and we have a mirror moment. We literally have a mirror moment. And I literally counsel myself. And I'm like, you're just being lazy. You're finding excuses. And excuses are tools of incompetence that build monuments into nothingness. And those who specialize in them seldom accomplish anything else. And these mirror moments, I'm really hard on myself. Because whatever's happening in my brain and wherever the location that I'm at. So let's say I'm sitting here and I'm in this tornado of I don't feel like working out. The mirror moment allows you to change your location, which will change the energy, and then you can start to have a really open dialogue. And fortunately, it's with yourself. It's just like if you were to be having an argument with your spouse. Sometimes, and I think all marriages or relationships have uncomfortable moments, but if you just say, you know what, let's go walk outside. Let's get some air and talk about this in a different location. You kind of disrupt the tornado. And so for me, and the mirror moment is, and a way to be able to break free and get yourself out of your own way is to literally move out of your own way, talk to yourself, and figure out what it is. And because your conversation that you have with yourself is the most powerful conversation you will ever have. Because while therapists are amazing, and because I've had two, and friends are great, and spouses are wonderful to hear you out and offer advice, you have the answers. And if the foundation of your answers come from the core of who you are, then whatever advice anyone else has to offer you is going to be exponentially amazing, because you've already accepted some changes that you've given yourself.
That radical self-honesty. I had this might count as a mirror moment sort of thing. A long time ago at a personal growth thing, they had us write ourselves a question with our right hand and then answer it with our left hand, like to get into the opposite hemispheres of the brain. And that was the weirdest thing. You're like, what the heck am I writing? You sort of just like let your hand write, and you're like, wow, I'm having this conversation with myself that I didn't know I was going to have. And I was kind of blown away that was even possible. It was also kind of scary. But like, what's going on in there, man? So I like this idea of just having a mirror as a way to to sort of not just look at how you are, but to look yourself in the eye and hold yourself accountable, and then to go have a therapist, someone who's trained in helping you be accountable. What about coaches? Like, we've got like 1,000 bulletproof coaches out there now, where we work to train accountability. Obviously as a dancer, you must have dance coaches, but do you use coaches now as an entrepreneur, or when you're working out, do you have people help you stay motivated, or are you just self-motivated at this point?
Here's the thing. I only hire people I look up to, and nice. They all become my coaches. Every single person that I hire, my question is, how can I look up to you and how can I learn from you? And each person on my team, I'm able to call. This is like, it almost makes me emotional, because I've really made a point to hire people that I look up to instead of, if I needed some sort of therapy, it's fine. But when I talk about coaching in my present term, it's the people that are around me. And it is so fascinating. I can wake up in the morning, and I'm not saying this to like make you feel good. I wake up in the morning, I have my bulletproof, and it really, I'm being so serious, man. Like, I can show you my refrigerator. I can show you my cold brew and everything. But that brain octane, I don't know what you put in it. But I mean, I do know what you put in it because I read it.
Thanks for the plug. But,
no, it's so true. Like, it's so very true for me anyway. You know, hopefully other people like it. But I have my, because I was a coffee drinker forever. I mean, it's part of my life. So that's why it's so fun to be talking to you right now. But so I finished my time, which is my coffee is my time to be exact. And just like this morning, I had an idea. I had a ridiculously crazy creative idea. And I said, who can I call that can coach me through this? And I just go through my Rolodex of employees, you know, my partners, I like to call them. And they are really my coaches, because I can spit out anything to them. And not only do they give, you know, funnel it in for me so that I can understand what it is that I really want, but there's always some sort of life takeaway from it that I take away from the conversation. And so it's interesting that you talked about someone that gave you like three buckets, you know, like what you hate, what you don't, what you really don't like, and things that give you energy. And this morning when I was on a call with one of my employees, we put things into three buckets. It's
nice.
You know,
nice.
We were talking about what people want, what they, you know, what people will pay for, what people want, and what, you know, what are free things we can offer that can make them mentally and physically stronger. Anyway, that's something else about what I was talking about, but it really comes down. And then there's, you know, Scott, who's my husband, but he's also on my team. And I'm telling you, that was the other thing before I met him, and going back to my 20s, Dave, you see Insanity, Sean T, and Hip Hop Ab, Sean T, I was like that all day long. I was on level 86,000 all day long. And Scott is so calm. And, you know, I'm from Jersey. So we got, you know, I grew up getting hype about everything. And he's from Seattle. And he's like, it's fine, you know? And so the contrast of that, and it's amazing because when I am like on 86, he's on one. And then, you know, I end up somewhere on, you know, 44.
So you got some grounding in your life.
Yeah.
Your life.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, now I gotta push back a little bit though. Like, you're the Sean T, okay? You're the main guy. You know, you're signing all these guys' paychecks and women's paychecks. So, I mean, they're your coaches and all that stuff, but you have to get some of that. Like, okay, they're telling me what I want to hear because I'm the boss, because I'm the celebrity kind of guy. How do you filter that out?
So, again, I'll keep it real with you. One of the main rules I have in my company is like, don't bullshit me, because I like honesty. If you walk in my transformation center, there's six words on the wall that we have to live by: truth, trust, and transparency, passion, power, and persistence. And so if you're not being if you're not being transparent with me, I'll be able to tell in 2 seconds. Like, I'll be able to know. I'd rather you tell me I don't want to help. I love honesty so much, dude. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And and all of my friends know that. And so if you lie to me, I'm pissed. Because here's the thing, and this might be a little far left, but the thing is, like, I know not everybody is going to like me. You know, a lot of people wake up wanting everybody to like them. Not everybody's going to like me. There are a lot of things just socially about me that a person is going to judge just because I'm gay or just because I'm black. You know what I mean? And I know that sounds crazy, but there are people. So I already know. So, okay, so we cut out a major part of the population there. So I'm fine. I have a strong backbone. And so all of these people that I work with, they know, like, tell the truth. I'd rather work through fire than float in, you know, dishonesty. You know, it's just something that I do. And so
it's a cultural thing for your company where you just taught people that you're not going to whack them over the head for telling you the truth.
Yeah. We talk about, you know, we have an open door policy. And again, as I stated before, the golden rule is the leader of the charge here. So, like, not to say that we don't have problems, because obviously there are things and stuff that happens. I mean, it is what it is. But the overwhelming feeling and communication style that we have is honesty, because the only way we're going to get to the next level of who we are is if we actually understand who we are. And so, I am Sean T. And, you know, I don't want to say rule the roost. You know, my voice is loud, but I'm, you know, it's exhausting. I need people that can talk just as loud as me.
That's definitely keeping it real, because it's a unique challenge, and one of the reasons I've made it a point to hang out with other people who are health influencers is because, you know, all of us have this going on where we want transparency from our teams and all that stuff, but we're all raised as kids, you know, say the right thing, right? And it's like, you got to sort of break that programming in people to be like, actually, you know, say the truth, even if it's uncomfortable, but getting people to feel safe in their discomfort, I think it's a big part of leadership. And I know just because you've got such a big presence and all that stuff, that has to be something you deal with on a daily basis. And I suspect a good number of people listening too, either you're in a situation where you're dealing with a CEO or a manager or with employees on your team and all that stuff. And there's always that weird power dynamic. So I love hearing how you deal with it, because you don't just have the power being an entrepreneur. You have the power being a celebrity, right? So it's like, you know, no one wants to fail you, right?
I'll say this, and this is something that my team knows. And, you know, I'm not sure how many people out there listening, you know, have social media or, you know, obviously I'm big on social media because that's a lot of my interaction that comes with my fans. And so this is going to sound so crazy, but again, I'm very transparent. So my social media is designed to lose followers. And I know this sounds crazy, but let me tell you, I need to be as real and authentic as I possibly can, because my goal is not to have a million followers or, that's not my goal. My goal is to be so transparent that the people that can actually relate to the message or the words that I'm saying or the motivational style that I have, they can stay. And if it doesn't work for you, I'm like, I'm so happy for you. And I really hope that you find somewhere that does work for you. And so people find that crazy when I tell them, I'm like, you should actually strive to lose followers. And I don't mean it really in a way where you do, you know, it's more set up in a way to, you should be so unique. You should be so uniquely you that when someone comes to your platform who relates to you, they want those words. They want to be in your presence. They want to have that dialogue back and forth, because I do write people back and forth. And so, again, it just comes down to like being transparent, and I am open, and I'm very open to what people want out of their lives and how they're going to get there. And if for some reason you finish 60 days of insanity and you're like, great, Sean, thank you, I never have to do this workout again, I'm going to say congratulations. And I'm going to say, I hope you continue to find ways to help you dig deeper, because I want that from you. I want that from you, not just to be doing my workouts.
Nice. I love that, you know, lose follower thing. I do that a lot on Facebook. It's like, if someone comes in and you're like, I'm totally offended, I'm like, look, and I'll put a little finger up, I'm like, there's the unfollow button. Like, if this is pushing your buttons and it's not helping you, like, I don't want you to waste your time on this. Like, go find something that's going to help you. Otherwise, it's cool to have disagreements and to talk about things. But it always kind of surprises people. But yeah, like, if it's not helping, like, why should people follow you? And I'd rather have fewer followers who are actually using the info than more followers who never read it or never act on it or just sit there and get angry. Like, what's the point to that?
It's just, this is going to sound so, you're kind of getting my personality now, but here's another thing. It's just like when someone breaks up with you. So when friends come to me, Dave, this is going to sound so bad, but I'm telling you, when someone comes to me and they're like, such and such, you know, I just got dumped, I'm like, congratulations. And they look at me
too,
like, you do? Oh, this, see?
Yeah, I love that, man. Yeah.
Oh, man, this is great. I'm so happy.
You're like, high five.
So here, I have to tell you this story. My doorbell rings. It's my neighbor across the street. They have a for sale sign that's been on their house. You know, at this point, they had a for sale sign that's been on their house for like a month. And he says, hey, I'm not sure if this is your mail or your in-laws, but it came to my mailbox. And I said, oh, thank you, you know, so much. And I say, oh, I see you guys are moving, you know, how's it going, you know, whatever. And he didn't say, we're moving or how it's going. He said, she's leaving me. And I was like, congratulations. And he looked at me, Dave, he looked at me like I was crazy. And so I was just like, he's like, oh my gosh. And I said, oh, well, tell me why she's leaving me. He said, oh, she doesn't accept me for who I am. And I said, right. Congratulations, you know. And then it went from him being startled that I said congratulations to him inviting me out for a round of golf, because he said, oh wow, I never thought of it like that. you know, and I say, but most people don't. They think of people leaving them as them losing something. And people aren't, some people are made to be in your life for a season, and some people are roots to who you are and will be there forever. But at the end of the day, there are things that run their course. And if someone doesn't accept you, if you're being like super authentic and you're positive and you're trying to be the happiest version of yourself, and someone doesn't want that happiness, and I'm not bashing the other person. Maybe they don't vibe with that. And so I say, congratulations. And I told him, I said, hey, now you have a blank canvas for the rest of your life to be able to paint a new picture. And that's when he invited me for a round of golf.
Beautiful. That's what Tony Robbins says. He's like, next, you know, and if it's not working out, struggling and just being miserable to try and make it work out. That's what I always tell people. It's like, hey, now you get a chance to have exactly what you wanted. Even if it hurts now, it's always a win. 5 years from now, you'll be like, oh, you know, thank God. So it's always painful, but I love it that you do that, because that's about as real and raw as it gets. And I got two more questions for you. First one. When your kids are old enough to understand the stuff you talk about, what are you going to tell them the secret to success is?
The secret tip for me, well, not for me, but the secret to success. Like,
what do you want your kids to learn? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to tell them the secret to success is believing in what you're doing. If you believe in what you do, you will find success. And I say that because I hate when I hear people who have kids that want to be professional dancers and they say, you know, it's such a hard life and I really want them to do X, Y, and Z. I'm like, oh, well, you know, I was a professional dancer and look where I'm at. And I'll help them understand that the reason why I say believe in what you do, and I'll use a professional dancer, is because it will lead you to opportunities that you will accept. You will accept these opportunities if you believe in what you're doing, because if you believe in what you're doing, you're creating greatness in your mind and your body, and you're actually enjoying the process and you're actually enjoying the roadmap to whatever it is you're going to end up doing. I'd much rather you go pursue something that you believe in and that you're passionate about than doing something that I'll tell you to do because you're trying to prove to, you're trying to prove to me that you can be successful, or you're trying to make me feel good, you know, because I have my life and now it's your time to build yours, and I'll be there to support you every step of the way.
That's beautiful. And now the broader question that's on every episode here. Someone comes to you tomorrow and they say, look, I want to perform better at everything I do as a human being. What are the three most important pieces of advice you'd have for me? What would you offer them? Like, what matters most?
You mean not knowing the specifics?
Not knowing the specifics. Like, just like everything I do as a human. So, you know, it's not just work, obviously, not just exercise that we all do as people. But, you know, I want to be better at everything. Three most important things.
So the first thing I would tell them is, you didn't ask to be in this world, but you are. And so now that you're here, the thing is acceptance. You have to accept where you are at this very moment. The first thing to anything, if you believe in yourself, you accept yourself. And if you accept yourself, you would trust in the power to believe. So you have to accept where you are at this moment. And I say that to say, when people say, I want to get back to where I was, I'm like, well, you can't get back. First of all, why are you going to go back? And you can't get to where you want to be if you don't accept where you are now. And so that's the first thing. It's just acceptance of who you are. The second thing is the trust factor. Is what you're saying true? And eliminate everyone on the outside. Is what you're saying true to you? And I go to people who are, you know, who manage people in their job, or something as simple as social media. Is what you post true? Do you believe what you're saying? Do you believe what you're telling your employees to do? Do you believe what you're telling your kids to do? Do you actually believe it? Like, is it true? Because if it is, then you can trust where you are at this moment. But if it's not true, you have to be able to monitor and adjust. And the thing is, it's okay if right now you don't trust yourself. It's okay. You have to understand that it's okay. But you have to start to make the steps to trust yourself and believe that you can do it and believe that it's okay. And that starts with back to the mirror moment, or if you're posting something, before you post or before you present in an email, do you believe it? You know, do you follow it? And the last thing, my last piece of nugget would be, stay the course. Stay the course. And the reason why I say I go hard on stay the course is, you know, if we are in a traffic jam, we find every way possible to get where we need to get to as soon as possible. We'll weave in and out of cars. We'll turn on the Waze app. We'll go on side streets to get where we need to get to. But for some reason in our life, we stay stuck in the traffic jam. And sometimes we just want to pull off to the side of the road and say, you know, I'll just accept this job because it has benefits. And you didn't stay the course. But I'm saying treat your life like it's a traffic jam, because it just is. And sometimes you need to change lanes to actually get to actually stay the course. Stay the course. And when I say stay the course, and the last thing I'll say is, you know, I had a dream of dancing, being a professional dancer and being on tour and doing all this stuff. And it's the one thing. I was a professional dancer. I did dance for Mariah Carey, but it's the one thing that I don't think that I pursued as much as I wanted it to. But guess what? Look where it led me today. It's still, if you stay the course, it's still going to lead you somewhere that gives you power, that gives you motivation, and ultimately gives you the power to believe that you are successful and believe that you matter.
Nice. Well, thanks for that advice. It's always cool to hear how people who've achieved different things, how you think about it when you have to boil it all down. Now, we're doing a bunch of stuff between Bulletproof and what you're working on. And one of the things I think listeners would really appreciate is your new book, The T is for Transformation. So the idea of having superpowers, getting inside the mind there, it is really cool. So if you're listening to this, I think this is available on anywhere you buy books basically right now, right?
Yeah, so it's available. You can pre-order it now at shantifitness.com/book.
Shantifitness.com. Okay.
/book. Yeah. And I spell my name S-H-A-U-N. Some people spell it S-E-A-N. you know, I've recorded the audiobook, so it is my voice, and I love it because most people know me from screaming at them on the TV. And so now I'm going to be, you know, telling my story and helping you through your own transformation by voice. So that's going to be amazing and exciting that the audiobook is there. But it comes out November 7th. So it'll be in Barnes & Noble. It'll be everywhere. And I'm just excited for people to look at transformation in a new way. Look at transformation and being able to go back before the before picture and after the after picture. Because the internet and everywhere is filled with the before and after shot. And it's the sad face in the beginning and the quote unquote overweight. And then you're smiling at the end and the picture's nicely filtered, right? But at the end of the day, do you know how you actually got to the before picture? And do you know how you're going to sustain what happens after that snapshot and the after photo? And that's what this book is about. It's about looking back in your life, figuring out where your superpowers are, how you can build them, all the way to the point where how you can sustain whatever the result is that you have in your life and how you can keep your superpowers and continue to build your secret backpack.
Nice. Absolutely love it. And thanks for being on Bulletproof Radio. Looking forward to having you on again and just to doing some more cool stuff between you and Bulletproof. And just thanks for all the positivity you're putting out there, Sean. I think anyone who's heard this interview kind of can tell you're the real deal. And you're not just the guy screaming, you know, work harder, work harder. There's a lot going on behind there. Thanks for kind of parting the veil, letting people see what really makes you tick. I appreciate it.
Thanks. And I'm going to say to you, I'm a huge fan. I know I sound really crazy, but I'm so, I didn't want to come off like that at the very beginning of the interview, but I think it's the perfect time for at the very end of this to say, man, like, I look up to you. I think you are so cool. Like, I love I just love how you think. I mean, I know this sounds weird. I mean, I like how you think and I don't, not just how you think, but how you actually put things into action. And it's just really cool being able to talk to you and hear the voice, and that kind of motivates me on a regular. So thank you.
I'm deadly serious about reaching out on the fatherhood stuff. Text me, call me, whatever. I'll share some some knowledge there that's probably rare that could save you a lot of time and energy and make things good. And next time you're down in Santa Monica, you got to come by Bulletproof Labs. We'll put you on some crazy equipment. We just opened the doors down there. So we've got this $1 million facility with all sorts of stuff that makes you recover faster than Mother Nature ever intended. This is the stuff I've got downstairs, but I want to get you hooked up there. It'll be phenomenal. So whenever you're in LA, you got a couple of hours, we'll put you through stuff you never imagined.
Well, I always stay very close, and I know where the Bulletproof Labs is because a good friend, old friend of mine, Jennifer Gallardi, is there, and she nice, was just nice. Like, make sure you come back when you're in town. And I'm like, yes, I'm there. I'm here for it.
All right. It's a deal. Thanks, Sean. I think everyone can find you on social and stuff like that because you're incredibly well-known. They know where to find your book. We just dropped a URL, and so I will connect with you soon. Later. If you liked today's episode, you know what to do. Head on over to your favorite website and pick up a copy of Sean's book. You're going to love it.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.